welcome back to another Daily Walk. And today I want to spend a little bit of time talking about aligning your life with God. This is the overall principle of sanctification. And I want to talk a little bit more about it in light of a couple church sermons I've heard recently are just really good and tangential to this position. And so I wanted to go ahead and chat about it a little bit. And the point is that as we are saved, we're not mystically and magically transported away to the land of heaven. We remain on this earth. So what is the purpose of us remaining on earth? Well, we remain on earth to become more like Christ through sanctification and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Of course, if we continue in the ways of the world, then we have no testimony of Christ. But if we actually continue in this world and we are now walking with Christ, we are not defrauding people, we are not engaging in sin, we're not lost in our own mental illness, we are really maintaining a wonderful and peaceful and joyful life, even amongst the crazy circumstances of the world. That is the greatest testimony. In fact, one famous author, I can't remember exactly who it is, but he used to say, preach the gospel at all times using words only when necessary. In other words, a life well lived is the greatest testimony and evidence of Christ. So as we remain here on earth, our primary and first role is to become sanctified. Romans 6:22 says it this way, but now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome eternal life. So we have to become sanctified in the principles. He writes in, Paul also writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3-7. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, he defines it here, you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us to the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. In other words, we have to become more sanctified. And the latter half of Ephesians chapter 4 is all practical. The first part has a lot of deep theology, and the latter part is a lot of just deep practical advice. So he starts out Ephesians 4 verses 1-3. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Now, we want to talk about sanctification. The book that I wrote, Josiah's Sanctification, is about this topic, how you can carry forth this and what that means. Also, testing and temptations is also along the similar threads. But you can have a look at either of those two books on the website or anywhere you can pick up a book online. Those are Testing and Temptations or Josiah's Sanctification. Now, what does this mean ultimately is that we cast off the old ways. So if we live in lockstep with the world, our life is going to be just as messed up. You know, we see a lot of these things like the divorce rate among the average Christian is the same as among the world. Well, that's because the average Christian, and I use air quotes there, the average Christian is not actually a saved person who is walking with Christ seeking it. They're a person who shows up to church because, oh, the social aspect, it's good people, it's nice, it's what you're supposed to do. None of those are to walk closely with God in sanctification and glory and peace. But if you take the people who are seriously dedicated to following Jesus Christ and you look at what they're doing, then what you actually find is those people, they have much lower divorce rates. They get along better, not only with their families, but with the world. They really have a sense of purpose. They have serious joy in their life. It's not like, you know, narcissistic Christians, mentally ill Christians, or the wonderful, lovely, brand new idea of these Christians who just are following everything of the world. We have to become tolerant of everything, everybody, you know. It's one thing to allow anybody to come in and learn the gospel. Obviously, we must do that. We must allow everybody in to hear the gospel. However, we cannot sit there and embrace a lifestyle of sin. Paul gets into this quite a bit. Romans 1:21, even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish hearts were darkened. We see a lot of that in churches in America today, where people are buying into a lot of the leftism of the world. And as they do so, they are buying into all of the nonsense. They profess to know God, but they're futile in what they're doing all the same. Now, Ephesians, again, that practical part also gives us some of this principle here about casting off the old. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they have become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. That is not the way to live a life with Christ. And so those are all like the what we would call the negative arguments. In other words, these are the things don't do. Of course, people run around, though, the whole Bible's full of what you can and can't do. Well, they talk more about what you can't do, of course, because, you know, the gospel affronts the things that they want to do as selfish people. But they're like, oh, I just want to do it. You know, the Bible is so restrictive. It's just so, no, it's not. Let me get to the positive commands. Instead of doing those, let's do these instead. And in just the general principles, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So what are we to do? We are to renew our mind. We renew our mind with the newness. It is the scripture. I have a few more general verses, then we'll get into two practical points here. And our next verse is in, once again, returning to Ephesians. We're actually completing the thought we just did, 17 through 19. We'll skip verse 20, looking at Ephesians 4, 21 through 24. Look at the positive in this verse here. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth in Jesus, that in reference to the former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is which in the likeness of God has created in the righteousness and holiness of truth. So put off the old and put on the new. Paul writes in Romans 15, verse 4, whatever is written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. That brings us to the first principle. Two guiding principles of sanctification. Number one, we have to know what the will of God is, and that is the heart or the mind of God through studying and reading and understanding the scriptures. But number two is get into the heart of God with the element of prayer. So look in a couple verses here. Of course, that one we just read, Romans 15, 4, talks a lot about the scriptures and the hope. We also have in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is inspired of God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. It is the scripture that teaches us these principles, the guiding points that we must have in our life. And of course, when we get into the element of prayer, first we're reminded in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, that Jesus himself would often slip away into the wilderness to pray. And so we see a lot of that, that Jesus spends a lot of time with God the Father. And likewise, we must. And he concludes in Ephesians chapter 6 at verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for the saints. At all times, we must be praying for the purpose of the gospel. The gospel itself, the manifestation of the gospel is that we walk in Christ. And in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up this door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, which I have been imprisoned. So we see a lot of the elements here that we are left here on earth not to just keep on living the same old way. We are commanded to walk a new way. And those that really dedicate our lives and ourselves to Christ, those that get into that position, we sit down and we say, yeah, we have to become like Christ. And the following of Christ, when we become more like Christ in that way, what naturally happens is that we get to the point where we have a lot more joy, we have a lot more peace, we have a lot less conflict in our lives, our minds are clear, and this opens us up as we recognize that the sins that we may have done in our past are no longer bearing on us today. We have cast all of that off, and instead now we walk forward with the grace and truth with Christ. So that is where we're going to leave it today. Again, I mentioned those two elements there to align your life to God. Those were testing and temptations and Josiah's sanctification. You can find information about both of those on ourwalkinchrist.com/books. Of course, you can pick those up in print, ebook, and audiobook format anywhere books are sold. With that, thank you for watching, and I hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's T-O-M-M. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.